So we pray, Heavenly Father, we want to approach your throne of grace and mercy again this hour, asking you for your special blessing upon us, Lord, in the ministry of your word, which we believe was given by a vindicated prophet for this hour, Lord, and may it be given in the same spirit which it was given to him, and the same spirit which he gave it to us, Lord, the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you'll help our hearts and our minds to receive truth. For us, if that heart and mind is there to receive truth, Lord, may it be fully aware of the things which are spoken, O God, and may nothing come between our minds, our hearts, Lord, in that word. So help us today, and we carefully give you the honor and the glory, because we ask it in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Now, this is number 18 of the Anointed Ones of the End Time, taken from Brother Branham's message, July 1960. Five, when he preached it. And of course, he took his text from the book of Matthew, chapter 24 and 24, wherein it says, "For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before." In other words, Christ had already explained what he said here concerning their question about his presence at the end time. For they said, "What shall be the sign of thy coming?" The little word is parousia, which means the presence and of the end of the ages. And he answered and said, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many." And then he elaborates it, "For there shall arise false Christs, even lying prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before." And he told them that, of course, over in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, I believe it is, and verse about 15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing." In other words, they appear identically to born-again believers. They appear identically to born-again, as though they were born-again believers. But inwardly, they are ravening wolves. They are of the devil, and they are there to destroy. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Now, of course, this does not refer to their character. Otherwise, Jesus should not have said they are wolves in sheep clothing. So the sheep clothing will be the character, the moral outward manifestation, those things that you believe a Christian should have. And especially, we understand in the last day, Pentecost came in 1906, and there should be definitely not only moral characteristics, but there should be power characteristics, which would be gifts of the Holy Ghost, would be manifestations. But even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. And he's talking about prophets. And what is a prophet all about? Bringing the word of God. A man under inspiration to bring forth the word of God. "Where therefore by your fruits you shall know them." So the fruit cannot be moral judgments. It's got to be a word judgment. And this is what the word is. It comes by the prophet. Notice in 21, "Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" Now I'm going to ask you a question. Is it the will of God to prophesy in the name of the Lord? If you answer no, you are wrong. You're a sinner. You need to come to the altar. It is the will of the Lord to prophesy, because he said they would do it. And it has to do with certain conditions under which it is done. There's going to be a problem. And it's going to be also a problem who is doing it. Because you're supposed to prophesy, the Bible says so. "In my name we've cast out devils." Are we to cast out devils? You answer the question yourself, yes. If you're not entirely dead denominational, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, and some of those are waking up, the spirit should be cast out. Why does he say they never knew you? Or you say they're backslid. You better read your Bibles again, honey. You're wrong. Don't try to add the word and make it foolish. He never knew them. Now, if they were backslidden, he threw them out, which is ridiculous. He had to say, would have had to say, I used to know you. Now, that's what he says in Matthew 25 to the rejected church. I used to know he's my wife, but I don't know he's my wife any longer. That's the divorce spoken of in 2 Thessalonians that takes place so the bride gets out of here. Come on. So these are people here that purport to be those who have divine vindication to bring the word of God. And their authentication is so close to the real that everybody but a few elect gets deceived. You say, I don't think I like that. Well, do you think I like it either? I got loved ones. I got friends. For years, my sister was a Nazarene. She's not any longer. I think she's just a kind of a Baptist now. Every Nazarene swore every Pentecostal spoke in tongues of the devil. Where did they put me? Where does it put my sister? She blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Now, these people here got genuine gifts, so don't ever blaspheme the Holy Ghost. They're not baptized with the Holy Ghost, but they got genuine gifts of the Holy Ghost. There's a big difference. So be careful. Perhaps there's lots of things we don't like. But these people are many at the end time. His brother Branham taught. In fact, he's the only man that ever taught. And I've had the books of theology in my hands. What I don't own, I go to the bookstore, and if I don't want to buy it, I just look at it and say, well, that's not for me. And I lay it down, having read what these theologians have to say. But you see where the Baptists and Nazarenes and everybody else went wrong? They literally blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And now where the Pentecostals go wrong, they believe that everybody who speaks in tongues has got to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. But what if the Pope speaks in tongues? And Father O'Connor speaks in tongues, which he does, and believes the Pope infallible, and says Hail Mary. Where does that leave Jacqueline Ford, one of their great theologians, who said, yes, we have the Holy Ghost, but don't push me on what I believe. The Catholic bishop says, how does the Holy Ghost feel in the Roman Catholic Church? Right at home. Something wrong somewhere with talking in tongues or some kind of evidence. I gave it up a long, long time ago because I saw too much. It wasn't God. It's a gift of the Holy Ghost, brother, sister. These men are gifted men. Now let's keep reading what Brother Branham said. I'll read a little bit. Before I start reading, I want to say this now. Before I start, is Brother Branham nears the end of this message, which I wish I could say I'd finish it this morning. He begins to tell the differences between the true prophet of this hour and the false prophets, one singular, the rest plural, who follow. He does this by typing. He calls the true word prophet an eagle and the false one buzzards. That's a good illustration. It's scriptural. Because there's two kinds of eagles in the Bible. One is a buzzard. But they're known as the clean eagle and the dirty eagle. He notes that both can fly, but the buzzard can't ascend to the heights of the eagle. Very true. Can't fight the storms like the eagle does. To try to do is just another impersonation and will eventually lead to his exposure both here and at the White Throne Judgment. After telling us the vultures can't fly as high as the eagle, he then remarks in paragraph 251 that they can't see like the eagle. That is, they are gifted as prophets, all right, but neither the word nor the revelation of that word comes to them. They are always off of the word. So we're going to read paragraph 251, and I'm going to start commenting. Why? Now, he said, he can't see like the eagle. That is, the false prophet cannot see like the true prophet. The vulture cannot see like the eagle. That is very, very true. The vulture goes by smell, I understand. So, what good does it do to try to jump real high and then can't see where you're at when you're up there? Now, watch. I'm going to tell you about a man who did that. His name is Balaam. Balaam's prophecy is still coming to pass after 4,000 years, right? Now, if his prophecy, which was genuinely of God, as a gift, which it was, and the man jumped so high he could literally foretell, which he did. I want to ask you a question. Could he see what was really going on when Moses, the true prophet of God, was leading Israel into the Exodus, into the type of what we look at as the millennium? The answer is no. Now, what did this man try to do, as well as Jannes and Jambres? They tried to discredit the prophet and keep the people from going into the promised land. Let me read some scripture, brother, sister, and bring it right up to this hour if we believe that he's going to come very, very soon. We go first of all to the book of Jude, which is just before Revelation. Beginning at verse 5, "And I will therefore put you in remembrance that though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, yet reserved into everlasting chains unto darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even to Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving them over to fornication and going after strange flesh, have set forth an example of suffering and vengeance of eternal fire." All right, now listen. I want you to put in remembrance, he said, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of Egypt, afterward destroyed them not that believe not. Now let's look at the Catholic Church. What did they come out of? Paganism and heathenism. Then they went right back to it. Can the Roman Catholic Church therefore be saved? The answer is no. The Lutherans came out. The question is, will God destroy the Lutheran Church now? The Wesleyans came out. Will God allow the Lutherans to live? Pentecostals came out of Wesleyanism. Will Wesleyans now live? Then if there's a message for this hour and God's calling people out, will the Pentecostals live? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Don't look at me, read your Bible. He said they came out and he destroyed them. There's always been a coming out. And there'll be a destruction. The lie that millions now living will never die is the biggest lie ever told. Now let's read on. "Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh." He talked about Sodom and Gomorrah. What splashes every headline in the world today? Pentecostal flesh television. You say, "Brother Bale, that's one person." That's the man that got uncovered. Charles Jessup was small fry when they uncovered him. Very small fry. Let's look at it. The Methodists weren't full of homosexuality. This age is. I came out of this. I know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me as though I'm wrong. I know I'm talking the truth. Over about 30 solid years ago, there was a Pentecostal homosexual ring right down here in Hamilton. Down the road, what man was caught in it? You say, "Well, that's Baptist. That's everybody." You're right, it's everybody. But I'm looking at it. And I'm going to keep looking at the whole thing. Not individuals. But the thing across the board, there's a mess everywhere in the world. The whole thing is degraded to where, how many is going to escape the tribulation? Don't ask me. Filthy dreamers speak evil dignities, yet Michael the archangel condemned the devil, dispute about the body of Moses, durst not bring a railing accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves, one of them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for a reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds ye are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea. Now you notice in here, in Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with myriads of his saints. This is this hour, this is talking of Balaam. Second Peter tells you the very same thing. We haven't got time to read it all. It says here, I spoke to Sodom and Gomorrah. Talks about the flood. And then said the people, eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin. What sin? Sexual sins. Beguiling unstable souls, saying it's okay even having homosexual preachers. Well, Pentecost hasn't got that, thank God. But the rest of them do have. Yeah, maybe preachers are homosexual, but their group has never authorized it. But you'll find others are trying to get into it. A heart that you've exercised with covetous practice, cursed children. For which you have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of righteousness. Now this is for the end time. But there were false prophets among the people, even there's be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresy, denying the Lord that bought them. That's end time. So we see Balaam again. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. The 8th verse, now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate. Now Jannes and Jambres could do everything that Moses could do up to a point. Moses threw the rod down. They threw the rod down. Moses brought blood in the water. They brought blood. Moses brought fleas. They brought fleas. They could do what Moses did. And then what did Balaam do? Balaam came across prophesying. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. What was Balaam trying to do? He was trying to destroy those who came out to go in. And you know what happened to that man? He died fighting in battle against Israel. You read his prophecy sometime and see how great and how good it was. Yet he was speaking all the time for Satan. He wasn't God's man, but Moses was. Now, it's going to repeat at the end time, the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that Elijah's got to come. Oh, they say, give it to the Jews. Why? Give it to the Jews. Then you'll burn. Because the Bible said that Elijah's got to come and stop the burning. Or is that destroyedly? That means every Gentile and every Jew go down the drain except for this man. So he said, all right. You look at this thing, a prophet is the highest order there is, because he's the one that brings the word from God. And there's different kinds of prophets. There's actually two kinds in the true prophets. There's those who have dreams and visions, and they come to pass. And there are those that speak face to face with God as Moses, even apparently, which means God allows himself a physical form, a visible form known to the prophet, and he speaks face to face. And that was Paul, and that was Moses. And William Branham, there's the picture. And it's guaranteed by George Lacy, now dead, the greatest authority on documentation and photographs and authenticity in the 20th century. And he said, that is a phenomenal picture. You say, well, that could be a phenomenon, but I don't believe it. That's your privilege. I got an argument. I believe it. I was around the man enough to know something took place. And I've been around the best. Great men was my privilege to meet. So what good does it do, he said, to jump real high, when you don't know what it's all about? I want to ask you a question. Did Balaam know what it was all about? Did Balaam know what it's about? No way. Did Jannes and Jambres know? No way. Then will these people know? No way. Will they be for or against? They will be against. So I don't think it'll happen to me. I know that's a nice feeling. It always have. I didn't think I'd get sick and just about die here, but I did. You're sitting here thinking it won't come. It'll come to you. Don't worry. You're all sitting. You'll get it. I survived TB of the lungs. I survived TB of the pituitary gland. I survived an infection that could have killed me, and it would to God it had killed me. Because if you wanted to go through hell, you go through it. Mental, physical, the whole gamut. You don't think it'll tempt me. Young people, you're sitting here. You don't think it's going to come. I've got news for you. You're all going to get sick and die. And you could have AIDS right now, not even knowing you got it. Because let me tell you something. God does not give you measles when you indulge in illicit sex. Get that flat. He doesn't give you mumps. You don't get colorblind. You get venereal diseases. And the world's already gone to pot. Kind of interesting. Y'all took a blood test. I wouldn't mind taking one. They say already they're fearful it's going to be airborne. There's evidence. Where are you going to hide? Under the false prophets, you've got a choice. Because you're going to have to listen to somebody. You're not smart enough to do it alone. Well, you say, I got Jesus. So is every Baptist, Methodist, Roman Catholic. You all got him too. If you get that high and you can't see what good is he, what good are these prophets anyway? They're to destroy, and they will destroy, and they'll deceive everybody but the very elect. Not just elect, but a very elect. In other words, it's narrowed down. The Bible says so, and I'm quoting the Bible. Brother Branham taught this. I'm glad he did. These men do not have the authentic mark of the prophet of Deuteronomy 18 and Numbers 12. But the Bible said they will be self-vindicated by the fact that they are able to produce miracles and genuine portents and signs which God himself allows. You know, everybody wants to believe except us, poor folk that were so deluded. The Judas just hung around the corner. And when the 12 were given power to go out and heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils, God took Jesus took Judas aside and said, now look, Judas, old boy, I happen to know that you're a devil. And the devil will enter you, so you will not go with the other 11 and raise the dead and heal the sick and cast out devils. Where do you find that in your Bibles? Can't find it. Judas cast out devils too. Then he anointed 70 more and they cast out devils. And when he preached on giving his body unto death and eating his flesh, drinking his blood, the 70 walked off. The disciples going across the land found some people casting out devils and healing the sick. And they came back and said, hey, should we call down fire and get rid of those birds that aren't with us? Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, by whom do your sons cast out? They were casting out devils. Tell me, can Satan cast out Satan? No! If you believe that, you're Antichrist. Because Jesus said, no, sir, no way. Satan cannot heal. Satan will not raise the dead. There's nothing Satan can do. God does it. Whether you like it or not, then the fact is these men are using the power of God the same as the devil used the power of God in the Garden of Eden. The same as the devil used the power that God gave him in worship and doing things that Satan turned right around and he made men blaspheme because of that power he had. All power is of God. Hard for people to understand. These are genuine gifts. It's a pity, but it's the truth. And they're here to destroy the people. What good is it if you can't see when you're up there? And if you should try to impersonate this eagle in heights, no, just get up there and do it exactly what the true prophet does. He becomes so blind he doesn't know what he's worked up to. In other words, he doesn't realize what it is all about. Why? Because he is not a genuine prophet. How in the world can a person that's doing lovely things like Christian Scientists and Unity find lovely people? How in the name of common sense can they possibly realize what is in a true Christian by the love of God when he does lovely things? They're both lovely things.
What Cain did was a super beautiful sacrifice. The Bible says that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So therefore, Cain's sacrifice was excellent. Anybody knows that? See, if that's a pretty bouquet of lilacs, then a prettier bouquet of lilacs must also be lilacs, but prettier. So excellent and more excellent signifies excellence. So Cain did a great job. And God said, it's evil. Now, how did Cain feel about it? He hated what Abel had. And the Christian side, I'm not against it. Look, come on, I'm just naming names to give you illustrations. Forget that. The sinners out there that believe in the positive gospel and no real birth, they're doing the excellent. But they're just like Cain in their hearts when you tell them about God in the heart. The true baptism with the Holy Ghost. That goes for the Word. Stands up for the Word. Those people cut the Word to pieces. Mary Baker Eddy said why. She said there's no more efficacy in the blood of Erskine than the blood of Jesus Christ. Or what is it? There's no more blood in the efficacy. There's no more efficacy in the blood of Jesus Christ rather than the blood of Erskine. She was a mental person. She tried to burn down her neighbor's house, her neighbor in it. Look at that. Balaam's the same way. Balaam killed Israelites. Do you follow what I'm saying? How would you like right today to get up in this meeting and after they prophesy, discern people's hearts, and prophesy, and tell the people right on the letter, exactly in this building, and be right at everyone, and then go out there and hammer those doors shut and throw a bomb in there? I want you to think. Because we don't think. We don't meditate. We don't ponder. We grab everything and gloss it. But to let it get down in here with the reality from here, we don't want it because it shakes us up. Listen to me. Those men are murderers. One day Brother Brown screamed, stay away from that stuff. To go there, for a little healing, some people would do anything. Ain't worth it. No, you might as well psych yourself, you're going to die. So, well, if I knew that this man really had the power, this false anointed man, he's anointed, but he's false. If I knew he had the power to get rid of my cancer, I would go there. By the grace of God, I wouldn't. He said, but Brother Vail, the man's got a genuine gift. Hold it. Should I run after Balaam having known Moses? Well, you answer your own question. Where are you going to go? Your healing, brother, sister, isn't everything. It's only part of you. My God, this temple is to be destroyed, but God will raise it again. Then don't sell out. He said, fear not him that destroys the body, but fear him that destroys body and soul in hell. In other words, he's even going to raise up the reprobate in a body different from what he's got now, for the burning in the lake of fire for millions of years till God annihilates him. However long God wants. And then the soul's gone too. Don't fool with this stuff. When he gets up there, if he goes up with a great prophecy like Balaam, listen, did Balaam know what to do with his great prophecy when he prophesied? No! He turned right around and tried to undo it. I tell you, I'm glad Brother Branham preached the way he preached. I'd be so confused today if he hadn't. That's right, he's screaming and shouting and carrying on, but just speak the word to him, boy, there his folly is made known. Talk to him about the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, or Jesus being the Trinity today and forever. And he'll say, oh, now wait a minute. There you see his feathers dropping. I want to know what's wrong with baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How come everybody goes to the Trinity baptism, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anybody here? The easy way to put it. If you got the same brass I got, you raise your hand. And I don't have a lot of brass. Doesn't take much brass. But just think it over. I ask you a question. Did Paul the Apostle get one single revelation, which we have in the Pauline epistles,
And also, what's in the book of Acts concerning Paul. Did he get one thing from any man outside of a visitation of Christ in the form of a pillar of fire? Now you answer that. He said, no man, nobody, not even myself, told me what to say. I got it from him who said, when I said, who are you, Lord? He said, Jesus. All right, you tell me why the Apostle Paul then got a revelation to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ instead of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, either you got to put Paul outside the Word, or you've got to admit people are misinterpreting Matthew 28:19, and even the better students say it is not in the original manuscript. I asked you a question. I went to a little Baptist seminary for 6 weeks, and I went out before they kicked me out. And they said, we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because Paul didn't make a mistake. And the apostles didn't make a mistake. And there's no place where anybody ever baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It was always Lord Jesus Christ. We're going the Bible way. Baptist. Old Eberhard back in Alberta. Not even a preacher. A brilliant teacher. He had the biggest Sunday school in the world at that time, 10,000. Way, way back in the Hungry 30s. I'll ask a question. How were you baptized? Well, I was baptized in Pentecost, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and I found out they did me wrong. So I got baptized over again. Why shouldn't I? So, well, that's no big thing. It isn't. It's one word off. So it's just a minute. All right, let's just a minute. What does the Bible say about a woman, a virgin bearing a child? So, well, that's true. You see, Mary was a virgin. Go back to the Hebrew. It doesn't say virgin at all. It says Amma, a young woman. That's what Brother Branham could say categorically. Every father said of his daughter, she is going to bear the child. Now, how many people believe in a son or a daughter without male intervention? Nobody except the heathen. And they knew all about this great stuff of the gods having children. And they knew it was a lot of hogwash because the priests were inseminating the women under the guise of night with their trap doors and things coming in. Virgin birth stinks, brother, sister, in most people's nostrils. How many Israelites would try to sell the story? My daughter is pregnant by the Holy Ghost. My daughter is going to have a child by a God. Oh, brother. Don't give me that. And how I know as a virgin? Because God sent an angel. Said, Mary, you're going to have a baby. Well, I am. How? I haven't even got a husband. Ah, you won't come that way. I'm going to create the egg and the sperm and put it in your womb. You're going to be the surrogate mother. It's going to be the seed of the woman because there's no man involved. So, well, I'll buy that. Why do you buy it? Tell me, why do you buy it? Because the Word of God was interpreted by God bringing it into reality and manifesting it. God doing it. And what about this hour? Is God the cat that lost his tongue? Pardon the expression, but I hit hard. Is God the old dodo that doesn't follow form anymore? Didn't he say he'd send a prophet? Didn't he say he'd vindicate him? Go to your books. This is Exodus time. And when Moses was there to take out Israel, Balaam was there to see that they didn't get there. Yeah. He was to see. He was there. And he fought him.
And you know what happened? Glory to God. He died in that. You say, Brother Bale, you're gory. No, I am glory. Not gory, glory. Ha! Let's ask the question. Okay, I'll look at Joe down here. Joe, let's put it this way. Would you sooner that I had cancer than you? Now, if you're sooner that you'd had it than me, you got something I ain't got. And I think you're stupid. You can get healed of it. True. But look, nobody. You get the point I'm driving in? Look it. What are you rooting for, Moses or Balaam? And if somebody's got to go, brother, sister, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to miss the rapture and go to the lake of fire. If you do, that's your business. I don't. And I am not going to say for 1 minute, I will take your place. If I wanted to, I couldn't. You say, well, the Apostle Paul was willing. Are you the Apostle Paul? I'm not. Now, if God put it in my heart, it'd be a different story. But I don't have it in my heart to follow the false anointed and fool my life away because they want it or they say something. See? Talk about baptism. There you are. See, their feathers are dropping. He's all jumped up and prophesying, casting out devils, speaking in tongues and shouting and carrying on, running up and down the floor. Roman Catholic priest will do that. They're doing it. In London, the priest stood on the platform and he said, you Pentecost. Why? He said, 30 years ago, he said, you were praying for us Catholics. And now we Catholics are praying for you Pentecostals. Come home to mother. Okay, harlot daughters, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostals, come on to mama. You think they're not going to do it? Where have you been the last 20 years? I'm going to be sarcastic. That's just the point. What, you don't you know what's going on? Don't you know they've all but overcome transubstantiation? And one of these days the Protestants will say, well, hey, it's all right. Come on. We believe it this way. You believe it that way. Isn't the fact we're doing it? Oh, come on. We're all cutting down trees for the pulp mill, man alive. You got a buzzsaw. A chainsaw, rather, and I got an axe. Well, so, too, we're all cutting down trees. My, what's the big deal? You don't think it'll happen? Bible says, these prophets cannot appreciate the truth, but they oppose the truth by genuine gifts. You know, I've got to be honest with you. That staggers the mind. That absolutely staggers the mind to think that that could actually happen. That these people could be absolutely gifted by God and the tools of the devil. But as I said, you show me one thing the devil has of his own. He doesn't have one thing he doesn't use, but he got it from God. And you and I are the same way. That's why we had better learn to be more careful. I've got to be more careful. I sure trust God will help me before I get out of here. I'm going to get out of here by the grace of God. But don't try to follow up there, for he'll sure be made known. Now, look. These ministers, these prophets, these false prophets that are in the Bible here, they said whole ministries in orbit. Just see something here. I better read 2 Corinthians 11 first, because, look, I don't think I can work it the way I got it down in my notes here. I'd be backward. All right, so let's read a couple of verses. We'll read the first four verses in 2 Corinthians 11. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, putting double emphasis because they weren't doing it. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ, but I fear, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds. You're going to take something in your mind that's wrong. Should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Now, let's read down about these men that made these people change their minds. What was it that came to them? Who was it that came? What did they do to make these people leave the teaching of Paul? For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end also shall be according to their works. They purport to bring you the true word of God, which is your standard. And they're liars. They do not come and say, hey, what's this with the Bible? They say, this is the word of God. Oh, this Baptist junk that the Bible contains the word of God. Then tell me, if it just contains the word of God, what part of it is not the word of God? It is the word of God. From cover to cover, we say it. And they forget that it is the word of God only in history in some points, because one place Satan said, an eye for, he said, a skin for skin, all that a man hath would give save his life. God didn't say, the devil said it. Well, they won't come and say, hey, throw the book in the garbage tin. They won't do that. But they will have to come against whoever it is that brings the word of truth for the end hour, because it says in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, they refuse to receive the truth. Then somebody's got to have the truth at this time. And somebody's have got to be wrong at this time. So they got a whole ministry of ministers to come against the true prophet and the word of Almighty God. And to be fine, intellectual, godly men, as we know godly men are. They'll be great scholars. They'll give their lives even. If you don't think so, just to take a look at some ministry over here. 1 Corinthians the 13. And here's what Paul says. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Though I have a prophecy, I'm able to prophesy, understand all mysteries, have all knowledge, and have all faith that can move mountains, and have love, not love, I'm nothing. Well, that's a fine man. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned. Was an immolation a popular thing a while ago, where people actually burned their bodies for a popular cause or a righteous cause? Absolutely. And they still do it. Profits me nothing. Love suffers long, and so on. Tells you. Okay. They're prophesying. Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Here's gifts in there. For I say through verse 3, the gift given to me among every man is among you, not thinking yourself more highly of other things, but think soberly, according to God gives you, measure faith. For, as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given me, whether prophecy, that's prophesied according to reports of faith. Ministry, where do you find that? That's a gift. It's a gifted man. Wait on the ministry. Teaching, that's an actual gift of the fivefold ministry. He that exhorts on his exhortation, he that giveth, that's a gift in the minister, in the body. With simplicity, he that rules with diligence, and those are the elders who rule by the word of God, Hebrews 13. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Right down the line, he takes actual fivefold minister and all the gifts and all these virtues and things and people, and he makes it one. Therefore, they can be false. God's got his church, Satan's got his church. God's got his world, Satan's got his. You know there's two cosmoses? Absolutely two cosmoses. The world of the ungodly cosmos perishes, and the world that God died for will never perish. Know your Bibles. They got ministries. Right here. When he gets up there, sure, he'll fly. He's ordained. He's anointed. He can fly. Now, in other words, he's truly a prophet, but he's not a true prophet. He can balance himself and get up there, and only just so far. See, he can eat carrion, but he can't eat the fresh meat that comes from the throne. See, he's blind. He's all worked up. He doesn't know what he's worked up about. In other words, he doesn't have, thus saith the Lord, of Deuteronomy 18. And he doesn't know there's such a thing that God can speak through men in this hour, revealing the word for this hour. He revealed a lot of things, but he cannot tell you the truth. of this hour. That's exactly what Moses did. See, the same spirit that fell upon him like the rain to make him a wheat, he's not a wheat to begin with. He blows up. He said, I can go over, I can do it. And he says, oh, no, sir, I don't believe that. I got Dr. Jones or somebody as my head. Go ahead if you want. In other words, you go ahead, Brother Branham says, and you be a prophet. You do what you want. But remember, there's something in the Word of God about it. Notice, he is not born or built or predestinated to be that kind of a bird. He can't. He might be a lemon growing on an orange tree. But he's never come from the roots. Something's been added. All right, let's take a look at that first part. It says, he's born, he's not built. To be that kind of a person. I got a note later on down about that, but let's take it right now. It's in Jeremiah, the first chapter. All right, let's read it, the fourth verse. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. You say, well, I think God forms everybody. Well, great, then you be a prophet. Go ahead. I'd like to be a prophet. So, hey, God law laid down, God forms everybody. Does he? Now, prophets are different. Their physical structure in the realm of the spirit part is different from anybody else's. It says right here, before I formed in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. In other words, he was absolutely in the sovereign plan of God, both spiritually and physically, right to be a prophet. Why? Because his mind could blip in and out in vision and in dreams and receive from God where yours and mine cannot. Now, we can dream, but we're not prophets. I've dreamed in technicolor. Perfect. I've seen one vision. No two in technicolor. Perfect. I'm no prophet. You could do the same thing. No problem. But you can't be this any more than I can, because you're not formed to it. Can't do it. Now listen, he can't. He might be a lemon growing on an orange tree, but he never came from the roots. Now, I know a little bit about roses, and I don't think I like them anymore because they get winter killed. Too much of a nuisance. But I noticed this one thing, that they graft those hybrids onto a living stem. Hybrids cannot propagate themselves. So what they do, they graft it on. Now, in wintertime, that graft can be killed. Then you'll notice up from the roots comes something different. And that's what grafts are all about. Long as it's within that strain where they can be developed or put in, you know, I don't think you could take something like an oak straw and try to make it grow in an apple tree. But you can actually, if you could take a rose, because they're related, and you could have no doubt a rose coming out of an apple tree, the same as citrus fruit and all. But you notice what he's talking about. It wasn't in the original purpose and life. It got put in there. So therefore, every plant my Heavenly Father hasn't planted and stayed within the species, it's going to be taken out. These people here, as Brother Branham said so correctly and beautifully, never were a part of the election or the purpose and plan of God for the elect and for His kingdom, because He said, I never ever knew you. Never knew you. See? But they've been added. That's how it is. Never came roots. He's something that's been added. So with these other ministries we talked about, they're a tear in the wheat patch. And when they get so high in their denominations that they can't see the predestinated word of God vindicated, then their folly's made known. Now, I want to read something over here. I told you we never get off the ground when I take these sermons, but I'm sorry. We'll finish it up maybe on Wednesday night. But let's read 11th chapter of the book of Romans. I want to show you something here about grafting. For I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of Gentiles, magnify my office. If any means I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh, and that might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what should be the receiving of them but life from the dead? In other words, when Israel goes back to Palestine, it's resurrection hour. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. Now, if the root be holy, so are the branches. Ha-ha. Only if God puts the branches in. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in and into them, and with them partakes the root and fattens the olive tree. In other words, the Gentiles were not in that root, but they're allowed to become a part now. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Now this is exactly how Brother Branham applied this to what's going on now. They are grafted in, and therefore not being a part, they will be cut off. When God put forth a branch after Catholicism, it was Luther. Luther was a positive, genuine branch of Almighty God, the messenger. He was that man of God. And those that came under his ministry, and the ministries of those that had the life of the Word at that time, they are genuine, absolute ministers of God. What happened? Just the life went out. And from then on, just branches. No life from the root in them. Lutheran branches did. Wesley came on the scene. Nobody can deny that he was the great man of the hour. Nobody. Look under him, the great revivals. Evan Roberts, all those men. Genuine life in the branch. What happened? Died. Where are the branches now? Wesley branches. Pentecost came on the scene. Oh, how they ridiculed them. I know everything they... Man alive, I was just a kid. You never heard such stuff was supposed to go on amongst the Pentecostals. Just lies, lies, lies. But now they're dead. What's going to happen? Who are the men prophesying this hour? Not the Baptist Methodists. Unless they've been converted to Pentecost. Where is it? The error got to lie in this area where they prophesy, cast out devil, heal sick. It can't be any other place. Because the rest have never done it. And they don't intend to do it. So where is it? The seventh church age is Laodicea and Pentecostal. You can see it yourself. I'm not fussing against them. They're still the cream of the crop. They're still the closest. You cannot deny it. But that's where it's got to come from. It's got to come somewhere. And he said, he. What happens? They're broken off in unbelief. Now I want to ask you, did the Catholics believe Luther? No, broken off. Did the Lutherans believe Wesley? No, broken off. Did the Wesleyan believe Pentecost? No, broken off. Then if light comes in this hour and the Pentecostals don't take it, they're broken off. We've gone full cycle. And you know what's going to happen? Let me tell you what's happening. They're going to believe what we believe. Not that we believe anything other than what a prophet was vindicated to bring us. We have nothing of our own. And you're seeing Catholics come in. And you're seeing Lutherans in that hour. And the Wesleyans. And then there's the Baptists and all the other bunch. And you're seeing from everywhere they are taking a light. Because they've got to. And that'll be the end. Because there's no place else to go. How are you going to add to the Word of God? And say, well, I think, Brother Vail, you see, this Pentecost couldn't be this group. There'll be another group down the road. You prove it. Don't tell me. Prove it. Give me two sets of Scripture. I want another Scripture, because I'm up here teaching. And I'm unqualified to be a very poor teacher, but I teach. I want no Scripture. Where does it say two sets? Where does it say two times? This comes at the hour of his appearing, which is just before his literal descent in the clouds where the bride meets him and then comes back with him. This is it. Israel's in Palestine for the first time. Listen to me. How many knows history? You know history at all? I'll tell you something. The Crusaders tried to put Israel back in Palestine. Even a colony went there under jurisdiction, and the mountains trembled, and the lightning and the earthquakes came and chased them out. God's city would do it. I'll chase you out. They're brought in, and they're there, and they're going to stay there, and America will turn on them. Yeah. The late Mr. Rockefeller, Nelson, already putting ads in the paper to turn America against Israel to curry favor with the Arabs when the oil crunch was on us. And they closed him off. Now with the spy deal, and things getting hotter, America will repudiate Israel before it's over. It's their destiny. Because they're going to go right into the harlot. Chapter 13, Revelation says so. And the harlot, Rome, hates the Jews. But I want to ask you a question. Who killed Jesus? Rome. Who was the dragon standing there to devour him under Herod? Rome. Who tried to destroy Moses? Egypt. Who was he about in Israel? Took him captive. Babylon. It's plain as the nose in our faces, we want to believe it. Now it says their follies made known. What's their folly made known to us? Because the scriptures revealed at this time, and we don't look for these men to fulfill something future, but they're manifested in this hour. They already are, for vindication has come and gone. Their folly's made known. Oh, that stuff, that halo over a head and all that, that's nonsense. I had a good friend years ago, Pentecostal boy. I love the kid. I still like him. He thinks a lot of me. I'm seeing him for years. But we were quite chummy over the fact we believed Brother Branham had a vindicated message. And then the next thing I found, he always said all that stuff about angels. He said, forget it. Am I told by a Pentecostal preacher to forget about angels? Then forget about heaven and hell. Forget about God. Why, he absolutely says we can entertain angels unaware. Do you mean to tell me an angel could not come in this room as a human being and fool every one of us to sit with us and eat? Then you don't know your Bibles. And you're not living in any expectation. You're already dead and don't even know it. I'm pretty well dead with you. I really don't expect it, but I'm going to tell you one thing. It could happen. And I wish it would. Even if I flub the dub. Let God be God. Let's have a glorious God. And if we're going to go to hell, let's make him all the more glorious. Amen. And if we're going to go to heaven, let's see that he's glorious. Amen. I don't know how we're going to do it unless he gives us something to do with. But let's believe him. She couldn't believe in angels. See, I don't believe that was angels, the picture. You don't have to believe. I do. I'm utterly convinced. I can't prove anything. And I care less. So why? Because he said so. Yeah, because he said so, and I knew the man. He said, well, your knowing doesn't mean much. That's true. That's true. Faith is the craziest thing under God's high heaven, anyway. Faith believes there's nothing to believe for except a word. Now, the world's word is always changing. Years back, it was the Big Bang with Velikovsky. Now, it's no bang. You'll be back and forth. I believe his word did it. And I believe it all started when the light came out of God. That light began to shine, an emanation of God. Because he said, I'm going to make something substantial out here, and I'm going to need something that somebody will see and know that I am he. And he just moved, and a light appeared. And then he said, now, after let there be light, he said, come on, he said, let these things begin to happen. I believe in a substantial God who is limited. He has definition. Because anything that's not limited has no definition. It's strictly amorphous and nobody knows. Unless you got some way to weigh it. You can't weigh God. He weighs us. God is limited. He's spirit. He doesn't lie. He doesn't change. He can be defined. Oh, maybe not the way you'll get it all, but he can be. So I don't believe in this stuff these guys say. I believe in angels. Isn't there a song, I Believe in Angels? Yeah. It's a worldly song, I Believe in Angels. Not little pretty kids. They're little angels, too. They turn into little rascals later on. But I believe in real angels. I sure do. Not what some people think. Now listen. It's been made known. He's not built to see that far. These prophets cannot see like a true prophet. He can only see as far as the denominational glasses let him look. In other words, if he was a true prophet, he would look beyond his own creeds and dogmas. See, always God, listen, God only sends a prophet in a time when you need a prophet. This is an hour, brother, sister, because it's the Exodus, Elijah must come. All right. But only as far as his glasses let him look. But after that, he's as blind as a bat. It's then his folly's made known. That's where the true eagle sits down to eat. Okay? We're looking. It said, now his folly's made known. When is that? In the future? No, it's made right now. How is it made right now? Because there's been a vindicated prophet with the true signs of prophet, and these men followed afterward. Now, there's a thing that people are not going to like, and that is this. Once there is a true, the rest will be counterfeit. So now, Brother Bale, I cannot take that because... Now, hold it, then. The Bible cannot ring true. And the Bible cannot be true. Because it says prophets singular, prophets plural. It's a different story. So you can't do it. So we are to beware. Now, listen. What do these prophets do? They catch that something is going on. But they cannot place it. They cannot go on to perfection. As the scripture says in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, they cannot do it. And we're supposed to do it at the end time. They cannot sit down and eat with the true eagles. They cannot do it. That's where the true elected eagle sees what he is. When he can't take that word, they know right then he's denominational vulture. In other words, I've said it before, the Brother Branham to make a statement like this is where you and I stand and say, listen, we can spot these people. And we know who they are because we know who a true prophet is. He was on the scene. William Branham made his world appearance in 1946. From 1933 to 46 for 13 solid years after the angel visitation appeared. That was that whirling ring of a rainbow that came down that hundreds of people on the banks of the Ohio River saw. The story spread plumb around the world. And out of there came the voice saying, as John the Baptist foreran the first coming, so your message will forerun the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that man had a ministry. You could go to Jeffersonville right now and track it down like I did. I talked to Brother Branham many times. Before he came on the scene to the world in 1946 with the gift of healing, and anybody was in that hospital sick and he went to visit, the nurses would say, here comes that little Baptist preacher. You watch, someone's going to get out of here healed. It was going on. But in 46, it was said, take the message to the, take a ministry of healing, to a gift of healing to the world. Now, you show me anybody prior to that. And you show me where the visions and the things that accompany a prophet are. I might listen. But the fact of the matter is, he was the original. Or, there's going to be another original someplace else. And if there's a second original, then believe me, there's got to be a third and a fourth and a fifth. And we are nothing but ascended masters believers and don't even know it. Then let's go and kiss the foot of the enemy, which is the devil, and say, all right, I believe in reincarnation. I believe in the system that God has. I believe in the ascended masters. Because, my brother, sister, let's face it this way. You have got Moses and Jesus, and now man William Branham. The historians absolutely say nothing like it for 2,000 years. Every 2,000 years, there'll be somebody. Can I afford to wait? Well, if I got to wait, I'll wait. And I'll find out very soon, because I will be dead if he doesn't come, that I blew it. And you'll find out that you blew it. Because either this book is right or it's wrong.
Amen.
You show me where there's a double set. I want to know. You say, Brother Bale, I don't believe there's a double set. Uh-huh, that's very good. Then, but do you believe what's been under your nose all these years? Or have your churches fooled you? Your Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian churches fooled you, your Catholics. Say, we are the assured fount. We have it all. Do you have it all? Oh, Fap, I was a Presbyterian as a kid. United Church a little bit older. Pentecostal, Baptist, you name it. I've run the gang. Oh, so well, that guy just goes in the church. He doesn't know what he's saying. I was seeking. What have you been doing? What'll a prosper man? What fortune is there into him? What good is it if he gains the world and loses his soul? I was trying to find my soul, brother, sister. And I threw it overboard as fast as I could throw it over. I found the errors. And when I found they weren't lining up. And I found a man who could prove something, God backing the man up. I said, well, that's where I'll stand. He said, well, are you content with that? I'm content with that. I'm not interested in going any further. He said, well, that's because you're old. That could be part of it. But you have your own ideas. I'll have mine. The sign of election to the sign of those that are elect in Christ. What is it? That we know what has happened in our hour. We can see the handwriting on the wall. I can tell you something. Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall. What good did it do him? What good did it do him? Well, he couldn't read it, so he called in the man that could read it. And when the man did read it and make it plain, what happened to good old Belshazzar, the Gentile? The man out there in Babylon, the sinner. Why, he said, Daniel, you are the smartest guy that ever lived. Wow, he said, do you have answers? Tell you what, old buddy, I'm going to make you the third big man in the kingdom. Put my chain on his neck. Give him a new robe. He believed nothing that Daniel said. Because Daniel said, listen, fella, it's all over. And tonight your kingdom is gone. It's shot, and you're shot with it. And he tried to give him a third of the kingdom he didn't have. It didn't do one bit of good. And I want to tell you, if William Branham was that prophet, it's not going to do anybody any good hardly but a little tiny elect group. And he's going to read the handwriting on the wall. And he will discover the Bible to us. He will, in the will of God, open those seals because somebody's got to. Dr. Bloomfield, one of the best, admitted it. Said, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to know where it opens when it closes in Revelation 10 and 4. And it opens in Revelation 22 and 10. Tell me who's going to do it. Who's going to declare to us Hebrews chapter 12, where once more he speaks? Who's going to do it? Find somebody. Well, the big thing, is it the hour? If it is, how are we going to know? You see where we sit, brother, sister? Now look, at the time this is supposed to happen, and I believe it's happened, there have got to be many, many men that are false prophets rise up, and they are here to destroy us. Do you understand what I'm saying? Have you caught the picture of Balaam? Oh, says Balaam, I think Moses is just, oh, ducky, ducky. He's on tell you, I'm related to him, see, by way back from Abraham. And I tell you, I don't want anybody to see a thing against Moses, his people. No. They're nice people. He did his best to knock Moses out, to get him out of the picture. And then he said, hey, we're all brothers and sisters, come to the great feast. And they had a sex orgy. Had a great time. And sex always represents idolatry. You had a great time. Let's get you had a great time. And God said, they'll everyone die and never rise. Yes. So this morning we pledge our love to Balaam. And Jannes and Jambres. Why, Jannes and Jambres could do what Moses did. At the end time, they'll do everything that Elijah will do. And even the great Antichrist, the Pope, that comes on the scene. Every sign and wonder. If I read my book right, I could be a little bit wrong there, but I think that's exactly right. We say, hey, love that guy. Hey, that's great. I ask you a question, is that so? Where do you stand today? Where are your cheers going today, brother, sister? Where's your allegiance today? Oh, no. I want to know where mine is. I can preach pretty bold right here. Or they can't point a gun at me. That wouldn't be so bad. But on the rack might be different. The boiling in oil might be a different story. But I trust not by the grace of God. Where do you stand this morning? Do you believe this is that hour? That's what he said in his book. And I believe we have the answer to the devil today, brothers and sisters. To get out of here. By the grace of God, let's rise this time and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we know, Lord, that in ourselves we don't have any answers. We make some comments, as an intelligent parrot might do on parroting what was already said before us. That's the way the world could look at us. And truly, Lord, except for your grace, we wouldn't have any higher estimation of ourselves and to just wonder what it's all about. But we believe that there's no way we'd believe what we believe here except that we're predestinated to it. As ourselves, in ourselves, we wouldn't do it. But there was something, Father, in that man, in what he spoke, that didn't just draw an interest, that began to explain and to make clear, as I know it did for me, Lord, and helped me so tremendously, to know what was going on out there, because I saw it all being unveiled and couldn't figure anything except something was terribly, terribly, terribly wrong. Now, Father, I just pray in Jesus' name to what I have felt in my soul to be terribly wrong, that let my life, Lord, be such that there be nothing of that wrong in it, O God, but purely clear, Lord, right with your word as has been brought forth in this hour. Help us, Father, to rise above all denomination and trends and ideas and things which are extant, just as Luther and his group did from the Catholics, and Wesley with his group did above them, Lord. Let us at this end time, Lord, help us to rise by your grace above everything. Not to start our own trend, Lord, but to get back to what was in the beginning, which is the word that Paul laid on the line. Help us, Father, we pray, so we have a true understanding, a true revelation, and then a walk that goes with it, O God. Because anybody we see that, Lord, anybody could parrot it. Anybody, Lord, could say it, could memorize it, and have an answer. But, Father, we want a life in our heart, and an answer from a life in a heart, O God. A mind that's suffused with truth, and a body that's suffused with truth. In all things, Lord, not laying aside one jot or one tittle, but in all things, Father, accountable and accounting. And we know that can only be done through the Holy Spirit. And Father, if we're not full enough of the Spirit this morning, and could be we are not, O God, somehow, Lord, may we lie before you in this hour until we are truly full of the Spirit of the living God, the life that breathed this word and brought this word into manifestation. This we ask, Father, above everything in the world. And then, Father, if there be an opportunity that we could help somebody else in this to see the light, Lord, may our own light in our own selves not obscure the light which is of you, O God, so that men may see and receive that you have forth in this hour. Father, heal the sick amongst us. We pray that everyone shall be healed, Father. We know that there's no limit to the atonement. There's no limit, Father. And Lord, those that are going to doctors, I pray that you'll help the doctors. We've often prayed, Father, because we know they're of you too. For all healing is of you, Father. We pray, my God, your people shall be helped in whatever they do. And above all, Lord, may they be helped in their minds and in their souls, which that living word, Lord, can give a greater life to the physical form than anything any doctor or anybody else could do. So help us, Lord, all to come under the guidance of your hand, your love, your life, and your mercy. Protect those who must go. Be with us as we further fellowship. We'll give you all the praise and the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Lord bless you. We'll sing, take the name of Jesus with you.